There you are, my dear. Come, come. Closer. Closer. How are we supposed to chat when you're standing there miles away, trembling like a leaf? There we are. Good. Did you find everything all right? Did anyone give you any trouble? Good, good. Yes, the boys at the door are a bit, robust, but who can blame them? Weren't we all at their age? Yes, they're on their school holiday. Just come down from Columbia, no less. Now, enough about them, and more about you. Can I get you anything to drink? No, darling, of course not. I may be an adventurous spirit, but serving up drinks at speakeasies is definitely not my hobby of choice on most nights. I just know the bartender, intimately. And sometimes when the man isn't looking, I sneak behind here and practice my mixology skills. Oh, come now, it's all in good fun, and he knows that quite well. See anything you like, darling? If not, I'm sure I can whip you up something. Oh, my drink of choice. Well, let's have a look at the menu then, shall we? Ah, the Hemingway daiquiri, courtesy of the writer himself. Do you know how this came to be? Well, if there's one thing Hemingway is more famous for than his books, it's his drinking habits. Oh yes. Well, the story of this infamous drink comes from his trip to Cuba. Mr. Hemingway, according to all accounts, fell in love with a lovely concoction of lime, rum, and simple syrup whilst he was down there, and evidently, the author started mixing up his own recipe. Unfortunately, the version the author concocted wasn't a smash hit with the other patrons, so the bar decided to put up their own spin on Mr. Hemingway's recipe, and now it's become a staple. Shall we try it tonight? Excellent. I shall fetch the ingredients. Oh, I do so wish for this place to be a bit more organized, but alas, if I try and move anything and, God forbid, clean up the space, the bartender would have my head. Oh, you know me so well. Of course, it could only be fun. Anyway, let's get started. 2 ounces of white rum. 1.5 ounces of grapefruit juice. 1/2 ounce of lime juice. And the ingredient that ties it all together. 1/2 ounce of maraschino liqueur. Make sure all of it goes in a shaker and strain it into a cocktail glass and garnish with a lime. What do you think? I'm so glad to hear that, my dear, so glad. Yes, it is quite sour, but that's the charm of it, I think. Anyway, we can come back to the drinks in a bit, but tell me, what's got you looking so tense? Don't you think for one moment that I did not catch how shook up you look when you walked in here, darling? Oh dear. Oh, well, that's no good now, is it? And here I thought they were getting married soon. Well, I knew the man was nothing but trouble. And you're sure you saw him? At the door? Well, if you'll please excuse me for one moment, darling, I must go and scratch that charlatan's eyes out. No? All right. I'll let Peggy deal with that herself when she finds out about the worm's transgressions, but, you know, this does coincide with what I heard just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. At the Majestic. Well, you see, my friend Dorothy was a makeup artist there, and one night, she spotted Arthur backstage talking to the prima donna herself. Can you imagine? Dorothy, being the good soul that she is, armed with the knowledge of his and Peggy's engagement and a pair of shears, promptly walked up to the man and demanded to know what was going on. And apparently Arthur flushed something furious and stormed off, whilst the prima donna herself looked incredibly confused and slightly annoyed that her flavor for the evening quickly departed and promptly returned to her post afterward. I thought that this was just some idle gossip that Dorothy made up because of her, her preference for, Peggy's company, but quite honestly, after that debacle, the two might as well elope. Now, enough about that. What about you? Got yourself a beau or a dame in your life since we last spoke? Well, why ever not? You are the topic of every conversation at every function we attend. No one can keep their eyes off of you, try as they might. Oh, please, the attention I attract is a mix of scrutiny and interest, whilst the attention you attract is of wonder and admiration. Yes, of course. You're the angel and I'm the devil. We're perfect for each other. Well, are you looking? Well, I'm sure if you're willing that I can find you a jubilant gentleman or a lovely lady to keep you company. Honestly, my dear, I thought you'd know me better by now. I know so many people from various backgrounds who would be more than delighted. Honestly, wasn't the last suitor you entertained utterly morose when you entered your courtship? Exactly my point. You are a catch and a half. And a darling thing such as yourself shouldn't be sitting on the sidelines at a speakeasy when you should be the apple of everyone's eye. Now, take a look around you, my dear, and tell me, which one of these lovely creatures would you like to spend the evening with? Sans me, of course. Oh, no, you misunderstand me, my dear. I'd love to have a chance with you, but I'm afraid that I appreciate your baking skills a bit too much to risk anything between us. After all, no one makes a victorious sponge quite like you do. Oh, the professor. I see you enjoy the academically inclined look as much as I do. His name is Edwin Donahue, a professor at New York University. I believe he teaches law. Quite a stern man, but if my sources are correct, quite the devoted lover. Yes, well, he frequents this speakeasy quite often, most likely to take the edge off after grading papers all day. I mean, I would as well. Young men and women in their early 20s, trying their best to make their mark on this world. It's a bit melodramatic for me, I'm afraid. I do believe his drink of choice is an old-fashioned. Much to no one's surprise, and I do believe he has a cat. Her, Irene Barry, socialite and philanthropist. Born in London, but raised in New York. I believe she lives in Sutton Place now. Her drink of choice is wine, and her favorite thing to do on a Saturday morning is to stroll through Central Park. Yes, well, as pristine as her lace dress makes her out to be, she is a bit of a minx, really. Oh, yes. Give that girl a glass of brandy, and Miss Barry turns from Daddy's good little girl to every college boy's dream. Yes, quite the dancer too, I gather. I hear she wanted to be a nurse when she was younger, Florence Nightingale being her hero, but due to her lack of a formal education, she resigned herself to frequenting hospitals and delivering presents and much-needed aid to the patients. Yes, a gentle spirit with a splash of naughtiness. Quite the pairing, wouldn't you agree? Oh, and I do believe Miss Barry's looking over in your direction now. Ah, the artist. Nathaniel Nelson. Quite the mouthful, wouldn't you agree? Well, you don't miss anything, do you? Well, I don't know too much about the man, other than the fact that he moved all the way from Arkansas to make it in the big city. The consummate story, I think. Well, he's here on most nights, keeps to himself, but is rather polite and charming. But every so often, I do spot him sketching some of our patrons. His favorite drink is the bee's knees. Yes. Oh, the activist. I didn't realize you were so politically inclined. Yes, she's a suffragette. Not that her parents know, mind you. Elizabeth Hastings, better known as Bess. She begged and begged and begged her parents to send her to the University of Toronto, rather than to a finishing school in England, and the old couple acquiesced. Majored in English, but she might as well majored in mixology. Her drinks can topple the largest soldier, I swear. Give that girl a bottle of gin and she can craft the best cocktail you can dream of. Oh yes, she and I had her fun when we first met, but we've since gone our separate ways. On good terms, of course. She still frequents this place to say hello to me every now and again. And it seems like tonight is one of those nights. Oh, don't worry, darling. She might be quite the vixen, but she's got a good heart. Oh, a silver fox. Even more surprising than the activist, but I respect it. Hugh Emmanuel, a since retired and very successful banker, born in New Jersey. The man has been widowed for the last 7 years. Yes. Now he frequents the various cafes, libraries, and speakeasies throughout the city to, forget about his woes. Quite romantic, wouldn't you say? Although depressing, to be sure, I do find a man who is so devoted to his lady wife that he has yet to find love is tragically beautiful. Actually, his wife was the one who introduced him to this place. Oh yes, as luck would have it, he and I became acquainted some years ago, in Paris, at the Pavillon de la Lune. Being the only two Americans in the place, we quickly chatted up a storm. He said that he has tried to find love again, but to no avail. He keeps a photograph of his late wife and a lock of her hair in his pocket watch. Yes, I do suppose it'll be difficult to compete for the affection of a man who is still enchanted by a departed soul. Oh yes, and the man is quite the soft spot for champagne. So, my dear, does anyone catch your fancy? Anyone you'd like for me to introduce you to? I do believe that any of the lovely people you pointed out this evening would make a very good companion this season. Oh, well, don't just stand there gawking, you silly thing. Finish your drink. Quickly. Yes, quickly now. Good. Now, go before the moon turns. I'll be right here, tending to the drinks all evening should you need anything.
Having the advantage of her in altitude, the driver had stood his ground and even ventured to attempt to speak on the ground. Yes? Oh, hello. You were just at the bar speaking to the owner, Miss Moon, correct? Yes, the owner. Were you not aware that she is the proprietor of the Angel's Delight? Yes, well, discretion is everything in a clandestine operation. In any case, I'm Edwin. You? Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Ah, I see. Miss Moon is ever the gossip. Yes, I was just looking over my notes for my next lecture. Are you studying, by any chance? No? Well, that's perfectly all right and understandable. Being a lawyer is quite a nasty affair at times. But quite rewarding, as long as you have the stomach for it. Yes, indeed. Oh, well, that's certainly an interesting question. I come from a long line of lawyers, you see. So it was expected of me to follow in my father and his father and his father's footsteps and become a lawyer myself. However, after much years of practicing, I've resigned myself to the world of academia instead. Much less bureaucracy and much more spare time. Although my students do keep me busy. Yes. Yes, and that too. But everyone has their vices, wouldn't you agree? What about you? Oh, I don't think that's true, my dear. Anyone who can become as close as you seem to me with Miss Moon cannot be as boring as you make yourself out to be. I'm sure you have some regaling tales you'd rather not share with polite company. Ah, I see. Well, I can certainly say I've never heard of anything of that sort. Of course. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Were you close? Yes, losing a dear friend is something so dreadful. It's never really easy. I've been there one too many times, I'm afraid. Yes, well, it was during the Great War, you see. Due to my profession, I was exempt from having to serve. But many of my friends were not offered the same luxury. Yes. Nasty business. Well, I'm very grateful for your perseverance. Not many can survive anything of that sort. You're strong. I can tell. Well, if you're ever around the square, I'd be more than happy to have a sit down with you. Apologies for being so blunt. I'm not usually so forward. But I don't think the venue we find ourselves in tonight is a good place to arrange anything so serious. Wouldn't you agree? Indeed. Oh. Well, firstly, thank you for your interest, but most people would find what I do a bit dull. But secondly, I suppose my favorite part of the job, aside from not having to live in Washington, is building relationships with my students. Yes, they're all very bright. Though I suppose one must be accepted into a university in the first place, but being able to enrich their minds has brought me such solace. And dare I say, joy winning cases. Yes, although with the current climate, there's been quite a stir at the school. Oh yes, students will be students and will break boundaries once they're no longer under the purview of their guardians. Recently, there was a scandal involving one of mine. He was caught, completely and entirely intoxicated on the steps of his dormitory, and was immediately dismissed. I had nearly lost my job trying to get that brat's seat back, but luckily, the president was willing to look the other way this once, provided that his family make a generous donation. Yes. Quite cack-handed, I'm afraid. But still, better than defending those that don't deserve it, I say. Oh yes, I moved here shortly after getting my license. What about you? Where are you from? Ah, yes. I know that feeling all too well. Although, suppose we fit the bill of the typical resident, no? I despised it here, at first. But now, I can't imagine living anywhere else. So, whereabouts are... Oh my, look at the time. My apologies, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut our conversation short. I have a lecture to give to my night class in about an hour, and it's a bit of a walk to the university. Yes, well, it has been lovely meeting you. Will you be here next week? Lovely. Well, I do hope to make your acquaintance again.
Don't take it personal, doll. The Stone Man, as I like to call him, has nothing but his students on his mind. Irene Barry, pleasure to make your acquaintance. I absolutely adore your ensemble. Who do you go to? Oh, you make it yourself. How extraordinary. Might I? The stitching is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. I dare say that you have more nimble fingers than my tailor does. And that's no small feat. Tell me, where did you learn such fine craftsmanship? Ah, I see. Trade secrets and all. I understand. Pardon me. Where are my manners? What's your name? Ah, well, once again, it's very lovely to meet you. I hope this isn't too forward, but I saw you speaking to lovely Naomi over by the bar a few minutes ago. Are you, perhaps, acquainted with her? Yes, that girl is a character, to be sure, but in the best way possible, I gather. Did she now? Well, color me impressed. Naomi is quite the observant type, to be sure, but nevertheless, I am curious as to what the lady divulged about me. Really now, she said that? Well, I will give her this. She is diligent. But, unfortunately, she doesn't have the whole story. No, she didn't. Whilst it is true that my dream was to be a nurse, it was not due to my lack of formal education that inhibited my ability to do so. But, rather my name. Yes, my name. You see, my family and my bloodline is deeply rooted in nobility. As it stands, we have some connections with Kensington Palace, and because of this, if my desire of becoming a nurse got out, it would cause quite a stir in certain circles. However, that did not stop me from chasing my dreams. No, it did not. After all, that's why we ended up here, right? This place is called the City of Dreams for a reason. In fact, I'd wager that dream chasing is the reason you've gallivanted your way here, too. Oh? What made me decide that I wanted to be a nurse? Well, that is quite a long story, I'm afraid. One with a sad beginning and an inconclusive ending. You see, when I was a child, my baby sister fell ill. Scarlet fever. She was tended to with the utmost care. But, unfortunately, she did not survive. After that, I fell into a state of perpetual despair. Melancholia, the doctors called it. The only place I found solace was at the church's hospital. I watched as a sister tended to various patients, regardless of age, gender, class, and stature. I became fascinated by their craft, and eventually, that fascination became an obsession. I begged my father to allow me to attend college and to study to become a nurse. He would not allow it, for it was not befitting of a lady of my station. What good is my station, anyone's station, if they lose their health? I cannot help but think of my poor baby sister every time he would use that pathetic excuse to dissuade me. But, nevertheless, I never gave up. I left my family, my home, and my country to come here. Because of my family's connections, I was able to find a university professor who would allow me to observe him whilst he tended to his patients. It's unconventional, I'm aware, but it's the only way. Why, thank you. That's mighty kind of you to say. What about you? How close are you to achieving your dreams? I see. But I suppose, at the very least, you have some form of agency over your life, right? I'd prefer that over being under constant surveillance, to a microscopic degree. Always being perfect in public, even more so in private. It's exhausting. Oh, you'd be happy to help me in my aspirations. Well, then. I may very well take you up on your offer, then. If you ever happen to find yourself with scrapes and bruises, I'd be more than happy to play the role of a concerned nurse and treat you. Oh, don't worry. I'm told I have a very gentle touch. Oh? Not only will you volunteer to be my loyal patient, but you'll help me break the microscope I'm constantly being observed under. Your offer is becoming more enticing by the minute, though, but I suppose we can come to an arrangement if you buy me a drink first.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize you were sitting right there. I apologize. Have we met before? Maybe at a fair or something? I'm really sorry, but I don't quite remember you. Oh. Thank goodness. For a moment, I thought there I was going to be in quite the awkward situation. I remember nearly every face I see, so if I don't remember yours, that would have been terribly embarrassing. Not to mention, it would have been really rude, so... Right, introductions. Nathaniel Nelson, at your service. Pleasure to meet you. You come here often. As I said, I remember nearly every face I see. I've never seen yours before. So... Oh, you just started coming here, right. Naomi, lovely lady, if not a bit of a deviant... Probably one of the most vainest women I have ever had the good fortune to meet, but in the best possible way. I'm an artist, you see, and for quite some time I wasn't getting a lot of the opportunities to show my art. I grew up on a farm in the Midwest, and I turned 18, stuffed all my stuff into a suitcase, took a train across the country so I can pursue my passions. My talents were never, appreciated back home, so I wanted to start somewhere fresh, somewhere people from all walks of life and all sorts of backgrounds can chase their dreams. Call me foolish, but I was determined to make it big. At first it was alright, I was able to do some odd jobs here and there to keep myself fed, pay rent, but after a while... Anyway, after a few years, I was ready to give up, but pack everything up, move home to work on the farm. I accidentally walked into a gorgeous young woman walking down the street with her gentleman friend. The man nearly punched me into next week until she looked at my sketchbook that I dropped. Instead, she just demanded I paint her. You know, back when I couldn't pay for the drinks here, Naomi would ask me to paint her portrait in exchange for one. She even hung one up once. That's the story of how I got my first exhibition. In any case, what's your story? Come on now. Everyone who shows up to the Angel's Delight has a story to tell. Oh, I see. Really? See, I knew it. Never a dull moment around here. Oh, this? Nothing special, just a sketch of the various patrons dancing. You want to take a look? Okay, here. What do you think? You do? Oh, thank you. I've been working on it all evening. I honestly thought it didn't look all too great. I can't get my hands to stop trembling, so the line work's a little messy and... Even though I was able to have my exhibition, I made some silly choices after that. Yeah. All this money dried up, and I had to find a job at a workhouse. This is one of my days off. I'll have to head back tomorrow morning. Oh, it's an automobile warehouse. We're operating heavy machinery, hence the trembling. It's exhausting to say the least, but at least we get 3 meals a day, a bed to sleep in, and a roof over our heads. So it could be worse. Not much worse, though. Huh? Oh, well, we don't have access to our personal effects once we're in the workhouse, so I don't get to practice drawing until I'm out again. That's life, right? I suppose I gotta keep working at it. Oh, well, my favorite thing to do is paint, but paint is rather expensive, so I can't do it too often. Even though I left my home to become an artist, home was where I found my love for art. My mother had a profound adoration for art. She was the one who started me down this path. After working out in the fields all morning, she would take me to the stream nearby, and we'd spend the entirety of the afternoon drawing and painting the landscape. It surrounded us. And always figurative and literal. Sometimes, if we were quiet enough, a deer or two would come wandering out of the forest and stand there, just long enough for us to sketch, before they bounced back into the greenery. When I arrived here, the lack of nature really surprised me. It's just concrete, steel, and billowing smoke. This is where dreams come to thrive, but the city's so lifeless. Nature heals, you know? So, I hope that through my art, people can find some form of healing. Albeit if it's just a portrait of a barkeep or a sketch of a bird taking flight, leaving the material world behind. Sorry, I probably sound like a complete and total idiot, huh? You don't think so? Well, thank you. That's far too kind of you to say. To be honest, most people's reaction when I talk about art is less than pleasant. Yeah, they honestly think it's a waste of time. They'll try to discourage me from continuing my pursuit of it. More often than not, they'll tell me to go home, help out on the farm. Hell, even my own family wants me to come home, but I just can't give this up. Not when I'm this close, you know? I'm sure after the next exhibition, everything will be alright. Oh, well, the Museum of Art is hosting a contest right now. The deadline's at the end of next month, and the winner of the contest will be receiving quite a nice sum of money and the opportunity to have their winning piece displayed for the next year. I've been working on my piece for weeks now. Whenever I have the time, at least, but I still haven't finished yet. No. There's just something missing. I'm trying to draw a still life piece of a person spending their leisure time at the fountain of the square. The one place in this city where there's still a little bit of green left. If it wasn't too much to ask, and if it's not too strange of a request, maybe you could be my model for this piece. Sorry, forgive me if that was too forward. You have a very lovely profile, and I was hoping that, if you would do me the honor of being my muse for this portrait, I'd so greatly appreciate it. I promise, if I win the contest, I'll split the prize money with you, and... Oh, you will? Honestly. Oh. Thank you. Thank you so much. You have no idea how much this means to me. Oh, man. This is just... Okay. I need to get everything ready. Here. This is the address to my studio. Now, it is also my apartment, but it doubles as a studio. I call it a studio apartment. If you could meet me outside my building 2 days at noon, we can head over to the park, I can paint you there, if that's all right with you. Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. You'll never know how grateful I am. For now, though, I better run. If we're to do this, I need to tell my boss that I'm taking more time off. Oh, yeah, no. It'll be perfectly all right. Okay, I have to go now. Thank you so much for agreeing to do all of this. I shall see you again in 2 days' time. Yes, thank you. Thank you again and again.
Looking for someone, doll? I'm Bess. You're Naomi's friend, if I'm not mistaken. And I rarely am. Nice to meet you. Come. Sit. Naomi just ran out to check on a shipment. She'll be back soon. What can I get for you? I recommend a mimosa, but I'm quite biased on that front. I'm always partial to a good mimosa. Reminds me of weekend getaways to Cuba. So she did mention me. The little Hellcat. Quite the adventurous one. Which is saying something coming from me. Although the situation between us is a bit complicated now. I can always count on her. Should an unsightly situation arise. Yes, I suppose you can say she was an old paramour of mine. But since we parted ways all those years ago, things between us have remained icy, shall we say. Anyhow, let me get you your drink, hon. Well, considering the circumstances, you will do me the honor of allowing me to keep you company until our Hellcat returns. I would love to get to know you better, especially since I've observed you bouncing around, talking to quite the variety of people tonight. Oh? How did she and I meet? That's a long story, I'm afraid. We met during my activist days, so I'd say it was around 10 years ago now. I was about to be arrested for indecent conduct when, out of nowhere, the Hellcat pounced on the officer and the two of us fled into the alley and hid behind some bins. Quite the origin story, wouldn't you agree? It's like I always say, if you haven't fled from the law at least once, then you haven't lived at all. In any case, I ran off with her shortly after that, much to my family's dismay. They knew of my activities and were less than thrilled to find out their eldest daughter has become somewhat of a criminal, for it hurt their reputation. What sealed my disownment, however, was the fact that Naomi and I made a big show of it all. They tried to rein me in by getting me to marry this old banker of sorts, terribly dry with an even drier sense of humor, that one. I would have sooner ripped all my hair out than marry that old sod. So, we invited our ragtag band of merry men, and on the day of the ceremony, they bursted into the church, screaming and laughing, and tore the place up. The look on my family's face was priceless. Naomi ran up to the altar
took my hand, and the two of us ran out of the venue, laughing the entire way. Good times. You looked shocked, doll. Oh, come now. What's laugh without a little fun? And besides, I'm sure the Hellcat most definitely has taken you on a whirlwind of adventure at some point in time. Judging by that flustered expression, she most certainly has. Besides, to say that I am entirely to blame for that spectacle would be unfair to say the least. If my parents took my academic aspirations seriously, then we would still be on speaking terms. I fell in love with literature at a very young age. You see, and although much time has passed since the whole ladies shouldn't know how to read social norm, my parents are old-fashioned. Of course, being able to read and write in this day and age is a must. But they were disgusted with my wanting a formal education. In any case, after a lot of begging and pleading and cajoling and false promises, I packed my bags and ran all the way to Canada. Oh yes, very much so. I don't really care for the whole be polite and proper at all costs philosophy of living. Life's too short to get bogged down by such arbitrary expectations. I'll wear my heart on my sleeve and live every day as if it were an adventure. Thank you very much. I want to go to my grave with no regrets, and this is the best way to do so. Yes, to us, a miserable bunch of misfits who only know how to have fun. Dreams. I suppose being an adventurer is my biggest one. I've always loved reading about all the countless adventures that our forefathers go on. Something about setting sail and seeing nothing but blue for miles and miles until finally reaching an undiscovered land is really romantic. Yes, but if I'm to be realistic, that most likely won't happen for me. Although, I've lived my life on my terms for as long as I can remember. My sea legs haven't taken hold yet, I'm afraid. The second I leave the harbor, I'm completely out of commission until we arrive at our destination. But that's all right. Even if there's much to see out there, there's even more here. Every day is a step forward into the future with even more to see and explore. The undiscovered lands with fortunes untold will still be there. But life here, well, let's just say it's not as stagnant as we like to believe. That's one of Naomi's bartenders. Frank, would you be alright watching the place on your own? I think I shall accompany this very lovely patron here to the dance floor. Good man. Come. Enough with the pleasantries. Let's go. Have some real fun.
Oh, dear. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, and I've ruined your outfit. Ah. Oh. How cruel of me. Here, let me rectify this unfortunate situation. Once again, I'm so sorry. This is quite embarrassing, to be sure. Well, silver lining. It wasn't red wine or anything too noticeable. Right. My apologies. Not the time to be making a mockery of it at all. Here, allow me. Unfortunately, the only thing left to do is just let the garment dry. Alcohol does dry quicker than water, so you should have a clean scarf in no time at all. Well, yes. Except for the obvious orange stain. Stains on ivory-colored garments do not leave much to the imagination, do they? Do forgive me. Where are my manners? I'm Hugh Emmanuel. Pleasure to make your acquaintance. Despite the circumstances, of course. They say that first impressions mean everything, but I do hope you will do me the courtesy of foregoing ours. Thank you. You are much too kind. A lovely name. And judging by your dancing with the infamous Bess Hasting, you're an acquaintance of Naomi Moon's? The owner of this establishment. Oh, please, please, don't fret. Any friend of Naomi's is a friend of mine. So, would you care to share what could have possibly possessed you to saunter into a place like this? As I suspected. Yes, well, they do say that a night of alcohol and dancing can bring one temporary catharsis. I suppose I'm here to just alleviate myself of the burden of remembering, even if I regret it in the morning. Yes, although poetic, it does cause a bit of concern, doesn't it?
Perhaps I should make an appointment with Mr. Freud.
No, I don't believe his methods will help me. The only cure for the condition I suffer from is time, I'm afraid. I lost my wife a few years ago, but I'm afraid I've yet to recover fully. Thank you for your condolences. She was the more free-spirited one in the marriage. She was always looking for something to entertain herself with. Mundanity was never her forte, and one night after a bitter argument, she stormed out of the house and snuck her way into this place. At first, I was furious that my wife would even sully herself with knowledge of this place, but after seeing the smile on her face as she joined in the revelry, well, I couldn't even remember why I was so angry in the first place. And I've been coming here ever since. At first with her, then after her passing, without her. No, I don't suppose she would. In any case, this place has brought me a lot of comfort in these last few years. I've seen quite a few marriages form on that dance floor. And even more broken, if I'm to be honest with you. But in these four walls, there's always something exciting happening. I've spent the majority of my life straying away from excitement, opting for safety and monotony. But now... Thank you for your understanding. Not many people do. There aren't too many people I can converse with here in a casual manner, if you catch my understanding, but I'm happy that I found a fellow conversationalist tonight. Lest I want to pester that law professor again, I shall endeavor to continue making such connections. Yes, well, it's getting rather late and I should be heading out. And so should you. This place will be closing up shop soon. Your scarf. Ah, yes, completely dry now. Look, if we meet again, I'll be sure to compensate you for the laundry bill. No, I won't hear any protest. It's my responsibility, after all. All right, I bid you a good evening, then. Take care.
had a fun night, I presume? Well, darling, I do run the place after all. I can't very well sit in one place for the entire night. Come, let me walk you home. Frank will close up shop for me. You're not entirely familiar with these streets, correct? I wouldn't want you to get lost on my account. Come along. I want to hear all about your evening. Well, it sounds like you have quite the fun time, then. I'm glad to see you interacting with more people. It's high time we broke that shy spell of yours. Oh? Why the angry expression, hmm? Why didn't I tell you I was the owner? Well, for a variety of reasons, darling, the foremost of which is the prospect of your disapproval. Yes, I know you would have come round to the notion of me running such an establishment, but it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And if I'd known that those loose-lipped patrons of mine would spill the beans, I wouldn't have encouraged you to talk to them. A joke. A complete and utter joke, darling. You know I would never deprive you of anything, intentionally or unintentionally. But did you mean it? When you said you had a lovely evening, did you really? Good. I must confess, although I did have fun watching you indulge yourself with drinking and dancing, you would do well to remember me whilst you have your fun. Don't try and hide behind your scarf, you minx. You know very well what I'm insinuating. Come, it's much too late for us to stand here and have idle conversation. We still have a long way to go. So you don't trip over yourself.